But we're about to see something that has never happened in history before, and that is the danger, because this vaccination has a mRNA in it that has particles, little particles, metallic particles. And you've probably heard of the transmission system, that telecommunications are coming out. You have 4G on your cell phone now. You're going to get 5G. Now, in the 5G RAIN at the 18 gigahertz, I'm getting technical and I want to keep it very simple, but this will activate those nanoparticles in your system that the vaccination put in, particularly the second one, the second shot, or third or fourth, they're talking about. Now, you saw 2 days ago that O'Biden, the doofus, got a shot in an auditorium and everybody watched him. Do you think for anything that was the vaccination? That was saline water. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not a sucker anymore. And so that's why I think it's important to alert you. What can you do about it now? And that's
that is
what,
the question. What can you do?
Yeah. Now, there are things that can be done. I'm not prepared to tell them medically to right now, but there are things that can be done. Just like I talked today, as I alerted a friend in New York, because they're talking about the disease that we're looking at, the virus that could come out, is Marburg. Now, Marburg is a part of the Ebola virus. You remember Ebola from Africa. Mm-hmm. It's not nearly as contagious as COVID-19, but it's far deadlier. I mean, when you were talking less than 1%, now we're talking up to 80%.
So let's just get into this, and I'd like to take you through the patents that are on Moderna's website. So there's a patent entitled Modified Polynucleotides for the Production of Secreted Proteins. This is one of the master patents for what they're calling mRNA vaccines. Right in the abstract, it describes that the lipid nanoparticles have a particle size between 80 and 160 nanometers, and it contains modified mRNA encoding a polypeptide. It includes a cationic lipid, a neutral lipid, a cholesterol, and a pegylated lipid. What they're calling lipids actually host cationic charges. They host positive electromagnetic fields. There is no lipid in nature that does that. They're using the term lipid instead of nanotechnology. As you go through the patent in section 219, it explains how they are self-assembled nanoparticles and they're fully programmable. That term in here is an alarming term for a number of reasons. One reason is that these are both pre-programmable as well as they can receive programs from an external source. Microsoft did a 3-minute video on their technology. They call them biological computers.
Imagine a world where we can do computation inside living cells.
The problem that we're trying to solve is really trying to have a more sophisticated diagnosis that can happen automatically inside cells.
Imagine a biological computer that operates inside a living cell.
The type of work that they're doing is essentially they're trying to sense, analyze, and control molecular information.
In this project, we're trying to use DNA as a programmable material.
DNA is highly programmable, just like a computer, and we can program a whole range of complex behaviors using DNA molecules.
It will definitely happen. I was talking about 6G earlier, which is around 2030. I would say that by then, definitely the smartphone as we know it today will not anymore be the usual, kind of the most common interface. Wow. Many of these things will be built directly into our bodies.
So there's one specific patent that I think it's very important for every American citizen to see, and it's patent number US95392102B2. It was issued on January 10th of 2017. The patent is entitled Vaccine Nanotechnology. And in section 9, it discusses the vaccine nanotechnology that can deliver molecules. In some embodiments, the small molecule is a toxin. The toxin is from a chemical weapon an agent of biowarfare. This is a utility patent for the pegylated lipid nanoparticles that are in these, what they're calling COVID-19 vaccines.
There's more than overwhelming evidence that these are three of these pathogens that are housed within the hydrogel that is used in the vaccination and the jabs that are being given. Now, these three pathogens are innocuous. They're stable, they're inert, they don't do anything. You wouldn't even know that they're there, okay? But the hydrogel is the fixative that is within. So it's being, think of it almost like paraffin or cryo or something that's preserved, okay? It's like a storage. It's a vehicle to deliver whatever they're trying to deliver, like the messenger RNA or whatever else they're doing. But it's also fixating these things and keeping them stable. So they're essentially, it's a payload, very high levels. It's the payload of pathogens that are being held in this hydrogel, almost like a sleeper cell.
We know that Marburg is not particularly contagious, but it has an extraordinarily high rate of fatality. And we know the mechanism by which this will be released. And that is inside of these shots that people already received, inside the lipid nanoparticles, the hydrogel, there exists pathogens inside of the particles that have not yet opened. Those pathogens are chimeric. They include E. coli Marburg, Ebola staphylococcus, and brewer's yeast, amongst others. We know that upon the broadcast from the 5G system that is now employed across the United States and the world for that matter, when they broadcast an 18 gigahertz signal for 1 minute, three different times as a pulse, it will cause those lipid nanoparticles to swell and release these pathogenic contents, thereby causing a Marburg epidemic that they've already spent the money on. It's already done, right? The Marburg epidemic, for purposes of the law, has happened, and now we just need the actual disaster to happen. And there's actually worse parts to it than that, including the 1p36 gene deletion that effectively will turn those poor people into zombies. As odd as that sounds, our government's preparing for that.
The FEMA have already put out zombie commercials and yep. CONOPS on that, correct?
That's correct. If you look at CONPLAN 8888, Stratcom put that out in 2011. On page two, they say, oh, this is just for examples, just for demonstration. You know, don't worry about it so we don't offend other countries. The problem with that is you look through that CONPLAN, it's all about five different types of zombies. There isn't anything in there about opposition forces. There isn't anything about winning political battles or counterinsurgencies. It is only about a zombie apocalypse, defending it. And you will see that every NIMS compliant practically agency, or whether that's state, local, or federal, has already had their zombie apocalypse preparedness training. They've already done their practice. The CDC has had a zombie apocalypse preparedness website up for the last 5 years. Now they've reduced it to a PDF cartoon. Even in the Amazon Web Services contract, the force majeure clause, I believe it's Article 41, states that we're not liable for damages in case there's a zombie apocalypse. This is coming, folks, and the serious adverse event report Pfizer put out post-marketing, they had put out as part of a FOIA. The number one serious adverse event was the 1p36 gene deletion. You look up the symptomology for that, it is the elimination of the frontal cortex and a propensity to bite. What's very odd about this was the symptom post-vaccination. That disease is a congenital disease. It means you're born with it. So how is it then possible that this is the number one serious adverse event from the Pfizer shots? It's here, folks. So what I wanted to impart to you is under 42 CFR Part 70 and 71, that's the enabling statute for Health and Human Services to assume power upon the declaration of a public health emergency. They've already done that, as you indicated, with the COVID crisis. That is has resulted in the suspension of our Constitution. It's already happened. The next one is coming. In that statute, you will see that Marburg is already identified. You will note that the PREP Act has a Marburg provision that allows for additional spending when invoked. The Health and Human Services has already invoked the Marburg provision, meaning they've already parted ways with money and spent it under the HHS enabling statute to build quarantine camps, amongst other things, throughout the United States.
So think of these pathogens as these sleeper cells that are inside the hydrogel that's inside the vaccine. So people are jabbed with it. You know, it's inside their bodies, completely inert, doesn't do anything. Now, when there is a trigger, when that sleeper cell is activated, when there's this trigger, and we don't know what the trigger is, There's been a number of things that have been postulated. The one that most likely is an 18 gigahertz pulse from the 5G towers that have gone up that will be 1 minute in duration, three subsequent pulses, all 1 minute in duration, that will then cause this hydrogel to melt down, disassociate, dehiss, you know, whatever it's going to do, become unstable, and now allow that sleeper cell to awaken and release these pathogens, the Marburgs, the E. coli, and the Ebola, and allow them to become no longer inert. Now they're becoming pathogenic.
With especially the rise of brain-computer interfaces and biometric sensors and so forth, it is very likely that within, say, 50 years, people will literally be part of a network. All the bodies, all the brains would be connected together to a network, and you won't be able to survive if you're disconnected from the net, because your own body parts, your own immune system, perhaps depends on being constantly connected to the colony, to the network.
Well, I am now, as of this year, I am in my 32nd year of being a physician.
You have a small elite that pushes things in its own interests, even if it doesn't benefit the vast majority of the population. This has happened so many times previously in history, and it's probably going to happen again. One of the biggest dangers to the planet today is this technological utopia, because probably for the elite, it will work. If bad comes to worse, then when the flood comes, the scientists will build a Noah's Ark for the elite, leaving the rest to drown, the rest of the people and the rest of the ecosystem. But they are likely to be able to construct this technological Noah's Ark, which is probably what much of the elite is counting on. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go
the
to
vaccine
the test, of course.
Will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance, people could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.